8 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Thursday night. As we react to a day we're not going to forget for a long time, for a lot of reasons. I think it's a great day for the Eagles as they move off of Carson Wentz. They get a third-round pick back, a pick that could become a first-round pick from the Indianapolis Colts. I believe the rebuild could start in earnest now. Good value, all things considered. I think today the Eagles made a good decision and a good move. We'll get back to all your reaction. It is a night for you guys. But I just want to bring on a guest here for a few minutes. His name is Zach Hicks. He is part of the podcast Stampede Blue about the Indianapolis Colts. So I need to get someone on involved with the Colts, you know, a podcaster that covers the Colts. What are they thinking about all this? Because we have our split opinion on Carson Wentz, on the trade, on what happened here. How about the team he's headed to? Zach Hicks joining us right now. Zach, how you doing tonight, man?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Didn't really expect the news to come today, but we finally got the trade to happen. So not doing too bad tonight.
Yeah, well, it took a while, but it got done here. So just give me your reaction from the other side, because, you know, we're debating here. I think it's a really good day for the Eagles. A lot of fans in town here think this is a kind of the culmination or exclamation point on an era gone wrong and a bad day for the Eagles. How about from the Colts' perspective? Are you happy? Do you think this is a good move by the Colts?
I don't know. I feel like I'm more on the, I guess you want to say, pessimistic side of it. And it's not really that, it's not like that I hate the compensation or anything like that. You know, giving up a third and a second, which will most likely become a first unless Wentz gets hurt next year. It's not too bad if you're getting your franchise quarterback. But, you know, as all you guys can attest to, last year did not look like that at all. Did not look like you're trading for a guy who is a franchise quarterback. So, you know, to me, I see a lot of the issues that kind of came up last year, and I don't think, you know, I don't want to say that he's like a broken quarterback right now, but it will take a lot. But part of me is also saying, you know, you didn't pay that much. You got a guy who was a top talent in the league at one point, and he's with probably the best chance to rehabilitate him. So I'm kind of in the middle. I feel like I'll eventually talk myself into it because that's kind of what you do as a fan of a team and as someone who covers a team. But, you know, currently I'm kind of just more about it. You know, I'm just happy that we're out of the quarterback carousel and we don't have to keep talking about quarterbacks all off season.
Yeah, and we're happy that we're not in the will Carson Wentz be here or not, and is it going to be a quarterback controversy thing. It's interesting as far as the deal is concerned. Zach, it felt to me, you know, people always say a win-win, and that you could say that about any deal if you want, but I felt like it was a hedge, Zach, and this is my perspective on it. The hedge I see from the Eagles' perspective is, you know, Jalen Hurts is probably going to be the guy here, but if not, they could have two first-round picks in next year's draft to maybe go up and get a different quarterback. So that's the Eagles' hedge on the whole thing. But I sense a Colts' hedge as well, Zach. If he's good, or at least decent, and they're good, they're not going to be that upset about giving up a first-round pick because he's their quarterback. But, Zach, I think they built in a hedge in case he's really bad again like he was this year, because if he's as bad as he was in Philadelphia, they could just sit him down. They don't have to give up a first-round pick to the Eagles. They could bench him and not be forced to give up the one. What did you make of how they did the compensation? Because it does feel like both sides protect themselves a little bit.
Yeah, you know, when I heard that the Bears were basically dropping out, you know, we kind of heard the last couple of days that the Bears were out of it, and it was mostly just the Colts that were the main team for Carson Wentz. When you take that into effect, I think that this probably was a little bit too much on the Colts side, but not too much to where you get upset. Where, like, I think the qualifier for it being a first-round pick should have been something like if Wentz is selected to the Pro Bowl or you know, something like that, or if he throws for a certain, you know, some kind of qualifier like that, that makes him more of like an above average type of starter in the league. But like you said, if he's starting 75% of the games or the Colts make the playoffs, you know, you're assuming that he's able to bounce back and get into being like a good starter again. So if that's the case, the Colts don't mind giving up a first round pick for a guy like that. So yeah, I think for the most part, it is kind of what you said there. It is, you know, a win-win for both sides in terms of compensation, both sides protecting themselves. But I do think the Colts kind of had some leverage the last couple of days and they could have protected a little bit more. But again, end of the day, if he becomes your franchise guy, what's the first round pick for that? Like a late first round pick for that.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that much. I think that it would be a win for the Colts if he bounces back to that level. Zach, how about fans? How about Colts fans that you do a podcast for, that you talk to, that interact with you? What is the general sense? Is it, wow, Frank Reich's going to turn Carson Wentz back into something really good? We've got something, you know, we stole this guy? Or is it like, whew, he was pretty bad in 2020, and let's cross our fingers here that he's not anymore.
You know, it's a mixed bag right now. It can go either way. You know, there's people who I would probably say I'm more on this side where you look at it, and it's not just a 2020 issue with Carson Wentz. It's every single year he's kind of gone down a little bit. His yards per attempt has gone down. His ranking in DVOA has gone down every single year. And last year was kind of the culmination of all of it. So there's people like me who are a little bit more on the pessimistic side. And then there's other people who are saying, wow, we got the 2017 MVP, former number two overall pick, a guy who would have led this team to a Super Bowl victory. So I think, you know, you have the range of emotions throughout the whole Colts fan base. And I think there's a lot of faith in Frank Reich right now, which, you know, there obviously should be. I mean, 2018 was the best year of Andrew Luck's career. 2019, Jacoby Brissett looked like a guy who could at least win some games, which he probably isn't really at in the league. And then Phillip Rivers kind of revitalized his career last year. So there's no reason not to believe in Frank Reich and not believe in this marriage. It's just, can Wentz turn it around from a mental standpoint, from a mechanical standpoint? I think that's where you're kind of getting the difference here. You got some people who are just super, super, you know, praising Frank Reich and thinking Frank Reich can do this, and other people who are, look, Wentz has been going downhill for a while, and last year was awful. So you kind of got every little side of the coin here.
Yeah, well, there's a lot, and we're all going to follow it. While I have you, Zach, last one for you. Nick Sirianni, which is, you know, it was a big story here in Philadelphia about 3 weeks ago, and now it all got pushed aside because of this Wentz conversation. What do you think we're getting here in Philadelphia? Because I am giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think his track record and his kind of resume is interesting and interesting enough that he could be a good head coach. And I'm excited to see what he could do. But there are a lot of people here in Philadelphia very skeptical of Nick Sirianni. You know him better than we do. What do you think?
Well, I think as you would probably be able to attest better than I could, Philly's a tough market.
We're a little bit crazy here.
Yeah, just a little. You guys, you know, going from a market like Indy to a market like Philly, that's tough, and especially a coach like Sirianni who's young and doesn't have too much experience. But I will say, you know, it's hard to grade that first presser and other things that you've kind of seen at this point. What I can attest to is someone who's been around the team, who's talked to a bunch of players. He's a really smart guy. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. I think that the reporters and people around the team and stuff, they'll fall in love with this guy quickly because he's just very candid, very smart, knows what he's doing. I don't know how that's going to turn over as a head coaching tenure. There's a lot of young guys on that staff. There's a lot of things going on with that team right now. I mean, salary cap hell. So I don't know about the overall success of his tenure as a head coach, but I will say he's a really smart guy. He knows what he's doing, brings a lot of interesting concepts from stuff that you guys have seen before. You know, brings some of that Ken Whisenhunt offense, Frank Reich offense, a lot of mesh, a lot of drag routes, knows how to attack a defense, but hopefully he can get the offense on track for you guys, but man, there's a lot of things going against him right now, and we really hope he is a success story there.
Well, we do too, obviously, because we need him to be. All right, Zach, I appreciate you hopping on. Good luck with Carson Wentz. Expect some dazzling plays and some that make you scream, want to pull your hair out, because that's what we've had here for a while. And look, I hope he bounces back, and you guys have a good season. Thank you for hopping on, Zach. Appreciate it.
Yep, you have a good one, man.
There he goes. Zach Hicks, who covers the Indianapolis Colts there. He's mixed. It's weird. It's weird. It's here, you know, there's mixed. Even in Indianapolis, there's mixed, Tuck, right? I doubt any fan base that made a trade for a guy that played like Wentz did last year is going to do jumping jacks. But people will talk themselves into anything.
Yeah, I mean, I immediately think back to the Sam Bradford trade.
Yeah.
Right, where they traded Nick Foles for Sam Bradford, and our first thought was, oh, my God, are you serious? And then about 6 days later, it was, he was the best quarterback in the history of pre-draft workouts.
Number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, like, if we tune into Indianapolis Sports Radio, which there is no WIP there.
Which is good for Carson Wentz.
By the way, Peter King told me that a few months ago. If we were to listen to their shows, I'm sure by mid-August, you're going to be like, this guy almost won MVP in 2017. Are you kidding me?
We got this guy for what?
Did you see what he did in 7-on-7s yesterday?
So are you saying in, let's fast forward, August 17th, this coming summer, Wentz goes 10 for 10 in a preseason game, and the Colts are printing the Super Bowl tickets?
And the Phillies are like 85 and 70 on their way to the postseason.
Let's go. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Thursday. Let's react. Carson Wentz traded to the Colts. I think it's a great day for the Philadelphia Eagles. We've been waiting on hold. We'll get to everyone. I know everyone. Tonight, everyone has to react to a day we're not going to forget for a long time. I think it's a great day. Do you think today is a good day for the Philadelphia Eagles? Your reaction coming up, and I think we have to apologize to someone. Apologize to a guy that we were hard on here in Philadelphia. Apologize to a guy that won a lot of football games here in Philadelphia, was a good quarterback here in Philadelphia. I'm not talking about Carson Wentz, though. We have to apologize to a different Eagles quarterback. I'll explain why coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 817 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. A great time to hop in and react here with us. Carson Wentz traded to the Colts. Third-round pick. A conditional second that could become a first. Tucker might swim across the Schuylkill River next year. We'll see. But I do believe today is a great day for the Philadelphia Eagles to turn a really bad situation into assets and to truly start this rebuild the right way. Move on from a guy that was not going to work here and what became a sunk cost with a contract. I think they did a good job today to get what they got for Carson Wentz. Agree, disagree. And we'll go to the phone lines. And you guys are waiting. I want to bring everyone on here. But let me quickly play this, and then we'll right back to the phones. Because we owe an apology to a former Eagles quarterback. And I'm not talking about Carson Wentz. 2 years ago, okay, 2 years ago, eight, almost two full years ago, April of 2019, Donovan McNabb went on CBS Sports Radio, and he alluded to the idea that if Carson Wentz doesn't start winning playoff games and or stay healthy, now, ironically, he stayed pretty healthy post this, but if he doesn't start winning playoff games and or stay healthy, that the Eagles will soon and should soon find his replacement. Everyone got all mad. Listen to Donovan here. This is almost 2 years ago. The guy's a prophet. He called this. Here was Donovan, CBS Sports Radio, April 2019.
I'm thinking the next two years or so, he has to find a way to get in the second round or out of the second round of the playoffs. You know, for what Nick Foles was able to do, take him to a Super Bowl and then possibly take him back to the NFC Championship proves that, you know, hey, some people can get into that offense and be very successful. You know, he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't really proven to me, besides the year before he got hurt in his first year, of really the MVP candidate. He needs to get back to that mode. And I think personally, if he can't get out of the second round in the next two years, to be honest with you, if he can't get out of the second round, they should look to possibly draft another quarterback.
If he can't get out of the second round in the next couple of years, they should look to draft another quarterback. Like, it's exactly what happened. He didn't get out of the – I mean, he didn't get out of the first – he didn't do anything. He got to the playoffs in 2019. Unfortunately, he got hurt. They lost that game. This year, he had won three games. It was December, and they benched him. And they drafted another quarterback and moved on. It's amazing. I remember when that happened. And the reaction the next day on WIP, I remember it vividly. It was that Donovan is jealous of Carson Wentz and doesn't want him to succeed. Like it was like talked about as if he was like – it was blasphemy that he would say that. And the most ironic part is he knows – Donovan McNabb knows this because he was the quarterback here. He knows how it works. You don't perform, you don't win, the team goes backwards, they're going to get another guy. It's like no one wanted to believe that when he said it.
I mean, he didn't even make it out of the first quarter of the first playoff
no.
game.
No. It ended up worse than Donovan thought. He was just saying, like, gets hurt or doesn't go deep in the playoffs. It didn't even get there. But Donovan called this. I mean, he didn't call every step of the way. Who could have? But he gave a pretty strong perspective on where this was going if Carson didn't take this team close to something great. And that never happened, unfortunately. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines. Let's get to everyone here. Amir is in Chester. Hey, Amir.
What's going on, man?
Amir, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. Listen, man, it got to be a great day, you know, because, you know, the only mistake in it, well, there's plenty of mistakes, but the main mistake in this is how are we just giving him money, truly, because it was premature. And I was a Wentz guy, but if you play good, you play good, and you play like crap, you play like crap. And I think people got to get out of saying, what he going to do in Indy? You know what I'm saying? I don't mean he can do it here. Like, the guy just came on, you know, from Indy and said, it's a tough market in Philly. So even if he going to play well, so what? I don't ever mean he was going to play well again here. And that's what I always said. He was cooked. So, you know, reset the deck, some draft picks, let Jalen Hurts play. And like you said, if he can play in 2 years, you draft somebody else, but at least in that meantime, you got some money. You're building good teams. You're building a good team around him. Good draft picks. You can build a team. But listen, man, people talking about they rooting for Wentz. It's over with, eh? Come on, really? It's like, it's really funny. Like,
yeah, Amir, that blows me away. Like, if people want to watch or, you know, kind of on Red Zone, check in on what he's doing, whatever. Like, but like, who cares what he does now? I mean, we're rooting for the Eagles. And quite honestly, if the Eagles turn into a good football team, no one's going to care what Carson Wentz is doing out in Indianapolis. No one.
Not at all. Because, like I said, it don't really matter. We Philadelphians. We're in an area. We understand what it is here. And that's what I understand. He wasn't going to get over and play here because he just wasn't mentally strong enough to do it. So wherever you go ahead and do whatever, don't mean he was going to do it here. So we got to – everybody, don't fool yourself. Relax. It's like he was who he was here, and it is what it is, and it's over, and we just keep moving.
That's – Amir, I love that. We just keep moving. I appreciate the phone call. And let me throw this in there. And this – I think this is important, and it's something I think we're forgetting. I don't know what it is. Do we just have short memories? Do we have a lot of young fans that chime in on things around here sometimes? I think we forget our history. And I'm not trying to be like the old guy saying, you don't remember the way it used to be back in the day. But I just want to point this out. So we had brought this up a couple weeks ago, and I think the context of the statistic was a little bit different. But Jimmy Kemsky threw it out today, quite a little bit of a different spin on it, but basically the same thing. So the Eagles, since 2004, have traded away four quarterbacks for at least a second-round pick. Okay, so four guys left here for at least a second-round pick, and obviously the Wentz deal now counts as number five. Here are their records with their new teams when they left here. A.J. Philly went 3-5 with the Dolphins. Donovan McNabb went 5-8 with Washington. Kevin Cobb went 6-8 with the Arizona Cardinals. Sam Bradford went 9-8 with the maybe he meant 8-8. Did he play it another year there? Maybe there was a typo. Whatever. He won 8 or 9 games with the Vikings. Total, 23-29.
But they're getting better.
Who is?
These quarterbacks.
What do you mean? Oh, like progressively?
Yes. There you go.
Yes. Well, you're right. It did get progressively better. Bottom line is the last four guys that were traded out of here of some significance averaged 13 total starts with their new team. Do you know what the common denominator of all this is? Life moved on for the Eagles. The Eagles traded away quarterbacks that at some point people thought could be good. I mean, Feely was kind of the only true fool's gold of that group. I mean, the Eagles drafted Cobb to be the guy. Donovan was a tremendous Eagles quarterback. And Bradford, of course, was the number one overall pick and the Eagles starter for a little bit. But for three of those four guys were supposed to be the guy here. And the Eagles moved on. They traded him. And guess what? Life went on for the Eagles. Their franchise didn't fall apart. Of all the different reactions I've heard or seen today, the one that blows me away is that the Eagles are dead now. Like, for this franchise has gone belly up. Like, the Eagles, life's going to go on without Carson Wentz. They went 35-32-1 with him as a quarterback. Like, it wasn't like when the, you know, when the Packers eventually lose Aaron Rodgers or, you know, the Patriots losing Tom Brady. There are certain quarterbacks that you realize, like, man, it's going to be difficult to replace this guy. That's not Carson Wentz. And has it been Carson Wentz for a long time? Today's a good day for the Philadelphia Eagles. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Nick, who's up on WIP. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Good, Nick. What's up, man? What are you thinking?
So a couple of things. The first point, quickly on Carson Wentz, I agree with you in totality with the entire situation. I just think it is a good day. I think that we all realized that it was a time where we had to move on. The options were very limited, you know, and it was the right thing to do. And we were able to get something from it. And with one team really in the running at the end, we were able to get what we got. And, you know, like you said, we'll move forward. And I really like Jalen Hurts. I'm a huge Alabama fan. I watched him a lot in college. You know, it got rough a little bit at the end there for him before he moved on to Oklahoma. But, you know, I've seen him progress a lot as an athlete and as a player over the years. And I did like, for the most part, what I saw from him toward the end of the year. And, you know, I think with a full off season to be with new coaches, to work at his craft, I think he'll get a lot better. And we'll see what we got. You know, I do think that the future is bright, or at least brighter than a lot of people are thinking right now. But I think a lot of that is going to be contingent upon our drafting, which brings me really to the second point, which is I wanted to know from your perspective, you know, where would you go with this draft beginning at the top? If it was up to you and you were Howie Roseman, would you trade back and try to accumulate more picks and build the team through the draft that way, trying to get more picks? Or would you take somebody, you know, that you think is good, best player at the, you know, number six, without taking the quarterback into consideration? If the move is not to draft a quarterback and to roll with Jalen Hurts, what would you do?
It's a great question, Nick. And I do agree with you before I answer that people are being way too pessimistic about the future of this franchise. It's almost as if, like, people talk about the Eagles the last month or two like they're the Browns of the past 20 years. Like they're dead for a long time. And I mean, the history says that although Howie Roseman is not close to perfect, the Eagles are not a tire fire with Howie as their GM. It's just not true. So I don't think this thing is a disaster. But as far as the draft here, Nick, I appreciate your phone call. As far as the draft goes, Nick's premise is no quarterback. Assuming no quarterback, what do you do? I have always been against wide receiver really, really high in drafts. I just don't think it's how winning teams are built. I recognize they need more help at wide receiver. And if Ja'Marr Chase or Devonta Smith are there, I have to think long and hard about it. I like Kyle Pitts a lot, the tight end slash receiver out of Florida. But really, I would like to trade down. And I don't want to trade down to like 25. But like Denver's at 9, right? They need a quarterback. They might want a quarterback. If they want to jump up to 6 and give the Eagles a second-round pick, I would do that. I would move down 3 or 4 spots, get a second-round pick out of the deal. I mean, right now the Eagles have 4 picks, I believe, in the top 85 now for this year's draft. And that's not including, obviously, next year with the contingent one. But they have 138, 70, 85 in this draft. If Denver offers you the 40th overall pick to drop down 3 spots, Tucker, would you do it?
In a heartbeat. So you especially if you aren't looking at quarterback.
Right. So you'd have 6, 38, 40, 70, 85. 5 in the first 85. That's a lot of that.
Yeah,
a lot.
When you look at the guys who would be available, right, like Penny Sewell, the left tackle out of Oregon, or Ja'Marr Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU, or even Patrick Surtain from Alabama, the Eagles need help at all of those positions.
Everyone.
Right? Like, there isn't one position where you go, wow, they really just need a left tackle, and you have to do everything you can to get Penny Sewell. No. They could go after one of those guys. They get Kyle Pitts from Florida. They could really go anywhere because they need help at all of those positions. They could look at edge rusher. There's that kid from Miami who's supposed to be really good. So if they dropped a 9 or 10 just to do that, and you even get a guy who does fit a little bit better with his team, so be it.
Right, and think about it like this. If the quarterbacks really are going to go high, like there's 4 quarterbacks everyone's talking about. It's Lawrence, it's Wilson, Fields, and Lance. If they're going to all go top 5-ish, people trade up. Like if the Eagles drop back to 9, let's just pretend, or 8, the Panthers want to move up. If the quarterbacks are going high, that means the Eagles at 8 or 9 could still get one of the 4 or 5 best non-quarterbacks in the draft, even if 8 or 9. That's like the more quarterbacks that go high, that becomes an advantage for the Eagles. They get a good player, even if they drop back a few spots. I would do it. That my first instinct here, rebuild, you need more picks, unless you just think Ja'Marr Chase is Randy Moss or Kyle Pitts is truly Travis Kelce. Like, you just can't pass him up. I would trade back. Let's talk to I knew we'd hear from this guy soon, and his name is Chuck. He is in Mount Airy. Chuck is up. Chuck, how you doing tonight?
Well, I called earlier. I had to call you on your show on this day. Because we are celebrating the day that this man is out of Philadelphia. Thank God.
It's over, Chuck. Finally. You know, it felt like it took forever, but I think today's a good day, Chuck. They were able to get a 3rd-round pick, potentially a 1st, and it's over.
Yeah, listen, Joe. And the thing about it is, right, it's going to show a lot about his character going forward. He come out and he say thank you to Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, and Jeffrey Lurie. Because the Eagles could have got a lot more for this trade. But they wanted to compensate him, and they sent him to where he wanted to go. They gave him a $125 million contract. They did a lot for Carson Wentz, man. And if he don't come out this week and say thank you to the Eagles organization and the city of Philadelphia for having me, he's a chump. You know what I mean? Just like I thought he was. But, I mean, that's going to show a lot about his character, man. But I'm just happy that he's gone. We can move forward. And, you know, like you said, I would draft – I like Kyle Pitts out of Florida. But if I could, Joe, I would move out of the 6th pick and, you know what I mean, get a 2nd-round or 3rd-round pick and build more draft capital to build around Jalen Hurts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that.
Behind him, Joe,
yep.
100%, we will be fine in the next – this year. It don't take long to make a turnaround in football.
Well, that's for sure. Chuck, I think people forget that. And Chuck, I appreciate you. I'm glad you called in tonight. Greg, we got a chance to talk. I'm sure we will a lot as we move forward with this offseason. What Chuck just said there is absolutely true. The idea of a team being down forever or down for – I mean, we've had people call tonight and say this sets them back 4 or 5 years. What? It's the NFL. 4 or 5 years, it doesn't work like that. If you have any kind of idea of what you're doing, and you can use cap space, and in a year from now, the Eagles should have a lot of cap space to use, you don't have to be down for 4 or 5 years. You really don't. So, no, I don't think the Eagles are you know, buried for years and years to come. I don't. And I'm a Jalen Hurts fan. I think they can win games with him. Look, if they had the number 2 pick and Zach Wilson is there, all right, you know, like I would take him. I'm not so married to Jalen Hurts that no matter what, he's my quarterback for the next 10 years. But barring that, barring something crazy in the draft, where they have an opportunity to get a Zach Wilson at 6. I'm not afraid to give him a chance to be the guy next year and to move it forward. And really, think back to what the Eagles were in 2012 when Andy left, 4-12, Chip Kelly coming in. No one. I wonder what people were saying about like the win projection for 2013. When Andy left. Probably saying what we're saying now.
13, 14, somewhere in there.
You think?
Probably. I don't remember. I was in high school.
It was not high, I can imagine. And they ended up winning 10 games and made the playoffs with Nick Foles. Same thing in Doug's first year. It wasn't, no one thought like, wow, they're going to be really good. They ended up winning 7 games in Doug's first year, the same as the year before. But it felt like it was moving in the right direction. I view this year the same thing. No one's going to have very high expectations, but it doesn't mean they're going to be, like, I've heard people say today they're going to be worse next year. I don't believe that. I mean, how are they going to be worse?
It's tough to win less than 4 games.
And they might have one extra game to play.
That's true. I mean, the one benefit, we kind of talked about this towards the end of last year, is we felt the Eagles needed to get clarity at the quarterback position, right? Like, you needed to figure out what Carson Wentz was, what Jalen Hurts was, before he moved on into the future. And then, obviously, everything sort of imploded and Doug Peterson's gone and
right.
Wentz went with him today. But that's almost what 2021 is. Like, they haven't had a clear direction at quarterback since 2017. Like, if you really think about it, right, when Nick Foles was here in 2018, I guess 2019, Wentz was, you know, unimpeded in his pursuit of the starting job. But Bradford was here his rookie year. Foles was here for 2 years. And you had Hurts last year. Like, they haven't had a clear number one quarterback going into training camp. And obviously they may bring in a guy, but they haven't had a clear future, a clear picture at quarterback in a really long time.
No, they haven't. And I think part of that is by design, that they want to be a quarterback factory. They want to have options there. And I'm all for bringing in competition for Jalen Hurts. Like, I would not just roll him out and say he's the guy and have Nate Sudfeld behind him. I'd have something. Tyrod Taylor is a guy that has worked with Shane Steichen, the new coordinator here, offensive coordinator. Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback for Sirianni in 2019 in Indianapolis. I could see him coming in. Like, I think a legitimate backup quarterback it should come in here. Maybe even Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mike in Westchester. What's up, Mike?
Even a couple days after.
Mike, you with us, buddy?
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
Mike, what's up?
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I had a speaker on phone and I was talking to somebody.
Mike, no, okay. Mike, no worries. Let's talk here.
All right, let's talk and let me get to the point. I want to talk about all the people talking about Jalen Hurts not being the quarterback. First of all, they hired Brian Johnson. The reason why Brian Johnson is here is because it's no coincidence. The reason why he's here is to help develop Jalen Hurts. The Eagles will – listen, if Howie drafts a quarterback with that draft pick next year or come this year, that's going to be a mistake. I don't think that's going to happen. But this is what I'm talking about here. I want to build the case for getting a guy like a veteran like Ryan Fitzpatrick in here, because Fitzpatrick was there with Tampa Bay while they were going through the rebuilding process, 2017, 2018. People don't remember, you know, what you see what Tampa Bay's developed now. That was developing before they hired Ayers as their coach. All right. So Fitzpatrick was there. He knows that situation. Then he went to Miami and he developed that. Miami was crap. And they were going through a rebuilding process, and now they're a formidable opponent. And now, any Eagles fan remembers that game in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
37.
He torched them. He torched the Eagles defense.
Right. So Fitzpatrick knows the situation of a rebuild, and he would be a perfect complement to Jalen Hurts. He would be the perfect complement. Maybe Fitzpatrick would start. Maybe Hurts ain't ready to quite ready. Listen, man. Aaron Rodgers didn't start till his third year. So, you know, Carson Wentz came in his second year, but that was a phenomenon. Everybody knows that was a flash in the pan, lightning in the bottle for that second year for Carson. And look what happened to Goff. Second year, he was phenomenal, and then he went down. Let's develop Hurts. Let's give him somebody, a veteran, who can teach. And that's the other thing, too, is Fitzpatrick is a mentor. He's a mentor to the young quarterbacks. Yeah, Tua didn't pan out because Tua isn't good enough.
Well, Mike, the last thing you said there I think is important, and I think the Eagles need to learn from the mistakes they made with Carson Wentz in terms of his development and the way they kind of treated him and made him feel like he was the guy maybe too early. Like, I think it's a good idea, Mike, and your idea works. Fitzpatrick, I mentioned Brissett, Tyrod Taylor, whoever it is, like, make Hurts earn it. And if he blows everyone away in training camp and Sirianni's like, man, he's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's my starter, that's great. But, like, don't just mm-hmm. give him the job, because I don't think that's going to make him better. And the other thing I think, Mike, about Hurts is I think he would welcome competition. Obviously, Carson didn't like that this past year. I don't think that Jalen Hurts would be bothered if they brought a Fitzpatrick in or anybody else. I think he would just do his thing and try to win the job.
Yo, in Bama, Hurts, that's what Hurts encountered.
Yep.
He encountered that adversity where Carson never did it. Carson was always the chosen one where he was from. So Hurts wouldn't – there would be no clash between Hurts and Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick, that's been Fitzpatrick's role for the past 4 years through Tampa Bay. They rebuilt – they were starting that rebuilding – they didn't just become Super Bowl champion overnight. They were rebuilding with Fitzpatrick as – well, he came in as a backup, and then he took over the starter – then he became the starter role, and he became a phenomenon and a fan favorite there. And just imagine what Fitzpatrick – the people would love him here. He would be – dude, even if he was just the backup and Hurts took the starter role, Fitzpatrick would just be – still be loved in this city, man.
Oh, he's awesome. I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. Mike, appreciate the phone call there. The only thing I wonder about him is, does he cost too much? Does he get more of a chance to get more money somewhere else? But the idea of it, I'm fine with that. 215-592-9494. The pick that could send Tucker Bagley into the Schuylkill River, how high could it be? I don't think it's a lock that the Colts are really good next season with Carson Wentz. Let's go over that. When we get back, I want your calls. I'll throw out their schedule, the opponents we know for next year. I think there's a chance that the Colts pick next year, which could convey to the Eagles in the first round, could be very much like another trade Howie Roseman has made that worked out really well for the Eagles. I'll explain. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.